Of Luke. We're back in the Gospel of Luke again this week. This time we'll be in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I'll give you a second to find it. And once you do, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. Luke chapter 14. And go with me down in 14 to verse 22. 13. Did I say 14? Luke 13. 13, verse 22. Forgive me, get confused sometimes. Luke 13, verse 22. The Lord tells us here, Luke 13, 22, Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he's made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stay outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then in reply, he will say to you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. Then people will come from east and west and from north and south and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to hide it in our hearts so we may not sin against thee, Lord. Given the words I should preach this morning, help us all to live in accordance with you and your holy word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. You can be seated, brothers and sisters. Amen. We come here to the words of Christ. He says here, Jesus went through one town, in verse 22, and village after another, teaching. Now, notice here, he was teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Back there in chapter 9, I believe it was, in verse 51 of the same gospel, it says, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." He knew his time was coming sooner and sooner to die on the cross of Calvary. For all of us, for all mankind, for everybody ever born to die on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. By the power of his blood we're redeemed, by faith in him, by the grace of God. Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching. Made his way there teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. He's heading over there to Jerusalem. In verse 23, someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" No doubt many of them noticed probably that he had just a very few disciples, but sometimes he'd have throngs and throngs of crowds following him around. They asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" What did he say to them? He said to them, verse 24, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able." Remember, Jesus tells us that straight is the way and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Broad and wide is the road that leads to destruction. There's a million different ways to go to the place called hell, but there's only one to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and his blood, putting a faith in him. That's the only way to heaven is through Jesus. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says here, notice here, he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive to. We need to be striving to live for the Lord every day. We need to be striving to follow him. He must increase, but I must decrease. He says, strive to enter. He tells us to. This isn't a suggestion, but it is a command. It's God telling us how to get there. He says, strive to enter through. Every day we need to be seeking the Lord. It's not a one-time thing. It's not we get saved once and we can just lay down and he'll take us on to heaven someday. No, we need to strive and seek him every day. Follow him every day. His grace is sufficient for us. Strive to enter through the narrow door. That's where we want to enter. We want to go through that narrow door. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. They won't be able to. That they'll try. People will try. But it will never happen. Verse 25, when once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then in reply he will say to you, "I do not know where you come from." He said when the owner of the house shut his door, it's over with. The door is shut. He got up and he shut it. And you begin to stand outside and knock at the door at the end of days, the end of our lives, whatever the end may come for us down here below, whether it's in death or Christ coming back, the door is shut. There's no other way but to trust and obey. We better do it, as the hymn tells us. He says here, once the owner of the house, God owns this place. He owns this whole entire world. He says, God's world. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not somebody. It's not the government's. But this is God's world. And he chooses when this thing comes to an end. He chooses. The Bible says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is appointed unto man once to die, the Bible tells us. We got an appointment. You know, sometimes we get doctor's appointments. We get dentist appointments. We got appointments to do this and that. I've got one. You've got one. We've all got an appointment with death. When the door to salvation closes, we've all got an appointment with that. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, it's judgment, the Bible tells us. We got an appointment to be ready for by striving to enter through the narrow door, lest it be shut. He says here, you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open us. Then in reply, he will say to you, I do not know where you come from. Glory to God, if we're one of his children, he knows where we came from, because we're born again in the family of God. We're born again as his children. We're not the old ways anymore, but we're risen to walk in newness of life. We're not the old ways of sin, but we're risen and redeemed and saved. He says here, knock at the door saying, Lord, open us. Then in reply, he will say to you, I do not know where you come from. Verse 26, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers. They had fellowship with him. He's talking, too, to these Jewish people right here, and it's just as vibrant for us today. They had fellowship with him, all this. He ate and he taught in our streets. We can have fellowship with the Lord sometimes. We can listen to his teachings. But he will say, I do not know where you come from. Unless we're born again, we shall not see God. Go away from me, all you evildoers. Go away from me, he said. Be gone. Separating the sheep from the goats. We want to be one of the sheep, not some old goat. We're the Lord's children. He says here, go away from me, all you evildoers. Verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. As John the Baptist said, don't say we're children of Abraham. Our father's Abraham. We're going to go to heaven because that. He said, God is able to rise up from these rocks, children of Abraham. Your birthright ain't got nothing to do with it. There's no Jew, nor Greek, nor Gentile, nor slave, nor free in the kingdom of God. Elsewhere in the epistle to the Romans, we read, for there is rejection in the reconciliation of the world. What will their acceptance be but life from dead? It's if we accept it. It's life from death, from eternal death. If the part of the dough offered as the first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches also are holy. The root is rooted in Jesus Christ, his righteousness. We shall not be moved if we're rooted in the Word of God. Verse 17, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, that's us, were grafted in. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother had an old dogwood tree we'd climb on. We was climbing up that thing, and one of the branches broke, and we fell on the ground, and we couldn't get to the top anymore. Well, my granddad, he took that branch, put it right up against it, and tied some rope around it, and grafted that thing back in, and it's still on earth this very day. That's what God did with us into the kingdom of God. He grafted us in. We were a wild olive tree, far away from God, far away from the things of God, but he put us in there. He says here, he grafted in their place to share the rich root. He cut them off. For unbelief, he says, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You say branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. Just as in Jesus' day, they rejected him, those people. The children of God rejected him. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. We should stand in awe of God's love and presence, that he's grafted us into the kingdom of God. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness towards you. Provide, notice here, you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. We don't want to be cut off from the branches of the kingdom of God because of unbelief. We want to be striving to enter through the narrow door. We have that choice to make every day. Are we going to believe what God says, or are we going to believe what the world says, or what we say, or the devil himself says? God wants to renew us according to the kingdom of God. He wants to renew us according to the word of God. He says, be renewed by the renewing of your minds. He says he wants to change how we think. He wants to change our very being. He must increase, but we must decrease. We have that choice to make every day. Don't be fit on around with the ways of the world. We'll get cut off from the branch. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches, he says. Without me, you can do nothing. If we're not a branch on the tree, we're nothing. God's grafted us in out of mercy into God's family. He's grafted us in and brought us in to part of, be a branch on his tree. Are we going to bear fruit? If we don't, what happens? We get cut off. Why do we not bear fruit? Because of unbelief. It's the root of it. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This translation says, live in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're living in the Spirit, fruit will come. We'll get the fruit of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Holy Ghost for a reason. But if we're having the fruits of the flesh of wickedness, it's flowing forth because we're not believing God and His promises. We're not living like the Word of God is true. We talk about the place called hell sometimes. Jesus was speaks about it very often, the place of destruction. Why is the door to destruction? There's so many people that will enter that place, won't they, around us, that's lost, that don't know Him, that don't know God's love and His redemption. Are we as God's children living like this is truly at stake? Are we living by belief in the Word of God? It would change how we act if we truly believed eternity was at stake for so many people. It was eternity was at stake. If we don't follow the Lord, that we'll be cut off. It really will make a difference in our life, won't it? We won't be living in lukewarmness. Revelation chapter 3 talks about the church of Laodicea, a lukewarm church. It was rich, it was increased with goods. They had everything they said. We said, we got everything we want. Jesus said, you're poor, blind, miserable, and naked. They were blind. He said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see clearly. We want to be anointed by the blood of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, to see clearly through the Word of God. And not be lukewarm. What did he say about their lukewarmness? Because thou art neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Oh God, help us. What makes God sicker than a lost? Someone that refuses to follow him is someone that halfway follows him, that professes him with the lips, but the heart is far from him. Lukewarmness makes God sick, the Bible tells us. Let's not live in lukewarmness. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door. We got to be striving. We got to be seeking the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. If we search for him with our whole heart, he will be found, he says. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek and search for me with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, we got to give him all, everything to God. Is there a corner in your life that you're keeping from the Lord, that you don't want to be part of the kingdom? Are you hiding it back? It'll fester. It'll rot. It'll rot your soul away, and you'll be cut off. Brothers and sisters, don't fester any sin in your life, but let's strive to enter through the narrow door. He says here, but he will say, I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by what we do. What we do flows forth by what our soul is like, what our heart is right, what our mind is right. Our works are a result. John Wesley used to say they're two sides of the same coin, faith and works. You start on your left foot with the faith, and the next foot's got to be right. It's got to be the works. Faith and works go hand in hand. If you truly have faith, the fruits of the Holy Ghost will flow forth. If our faith is faltering away, the fruits of the flesh will start coming because of unbelief. We've got to bear fruit for the Lord by trusting in Him. We're not saved by works, but growths are a result. Works are a result of how we're living. They're a result of if we're right with the Lord. They're a result of our heart and mind. They're a result of our relationship with the Lord. We love God because He first loved us. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. If we truly love Him, we're going to love what He loves and hate what He hates. And we'll remember that God loves everybody, but He loves righteousness. He loves holiness. Before the throne room of God, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. This very moment, Revelation tells us right now, what a glorious thing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What does God hate? God hates sin and iniquity. He knows what it does. The wages of sin is death. He knows what it does to His children. But He never hates one person. He loves everybody. So too, I like that old song, Old Time Religion. It says, makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. God help us to do that by the Word of God. True love is not going to deceive someone. True love is going to tell them the truth. In love, the Bible says, truth and love. Truth, faith, working in love. He says here, We ate and drank with you and talked in your streets. We will say, I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers. They're evildoers because they refuse to follow the Lord. It's what flows forth of your life if you're not following him. It's the only options we have. There's no sitting still in your walk with God. You're either growing in grace and the knowledge of God, or you're falling away. What happens with an old pond? No water coming in or out. It's just kind of sitting there. It gets stagnant. Boy, does that stuff stink. We had an old pond that my ancestors dug. There's no water in it now. It finally dried up. But for several years, it was just stagnant. That thing was nasty. The water looked black. That's what our lives look like if we allow them to be stagnated. Instead of being filled with the Holy Ghost, instead of getting eyes, Jesus said, come into the river of living waters of the Holy Ghost to be refreshed and renewed every day. We'll just stagnate, and then we'll dry up. Strive to enter through the narrow door, Jesus says. For many, I tell you, will try to enter, will not be able, because they didn't seek the Lord. They didn't trust him with their whole life. What corner of your life are you hiding from the Lord? Give it to him, lest you become stagnated in your walk with the Lord. He says here in verse 28, there will be weeping. That's a sad thing. Weeping, it's not just crying. We forget so often. Weeping is more than just crying a few tears. Weeping is very deep crying. That's what Jesus did when Lazarus died. Very depthful crying. There will be weeping. It's a sadness. Not only that, there will be gnashing of teeth. Oh, God, help. Gnashing of teeth. You got to be in some serious pain to be gnashing your teeth about. Like in the 1700s, they give you a piece of rope to chew on when you had to go under surgery. You're gnashing your teeth in pain. That's what it says they will be doing. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, everybody, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth because they ain't there. And you yourselves thrown out or kicked out because they refused to follow Jesus. They refused to believe him. These are the people that had parts of the Old Testament, entire books memorized. They missed it. They had it all in their head, but they never once allowed it to enter their heart and their soul. They never once allowed it to redeem them. They never once given their lives to Jesus. Then the people will come from east and west, from the north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Their belief, their branch was cut off because of unbelief, and we are allowed to be grafted in. We need to remember that. People will come from east and west. They thought just because they was Jewish folk, just because they had Abraham as their father, they're going to get a free ticket to heaven, but it doesn't work that way. Just same as this day. You can have some wonderful godly influences in your life, but unless you yourself personally come to know him as Savior, unless you yourself personally follow him, he says, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you will never be worthy. Unless we do that, put our faith in him and are saved by his grace, unless we're redeemed, you'll never be in heaven, no matter how wonderful and righteous your influences are. It's a good godly thing. We need to speak to God with people, seek wise counsel, and have godly friends and raise your children up in the ways of God. That's a requirement from the Lord. But it comes down to a personal decision in the end. We need to be good influence on those around us. Pray. Seek the Lord's face. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If we want our prayers to get to heaven and be true, we do some good, we need to live for the Lord. He says here, people will come from east and west, from north and south, from all over the world. We'll be coming from the west. We're way far west in a whole other continent out here in the United States. Many will come from east and west, all around the world. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, no Gentile. Everybody's one in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. It's a sad thing, those old Pharisees and many others back in those days. They'd enlarge their garments like them old talus that the Jewish people wear. They'd enlarge it to make them look holier. They'd stand in the streets. We can even read some of the ancient writings of Josephus and all these people when he described the different types of false humility that they would profess, kind of hunching over like they're starving from fasting. That's not of God, as Jesus tells us. It's a sad thing. God loved them people so dearly, but they refused to love him. It happens every day. No, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes. It happened to this very day. Serving him with the lips, as Isaiah said, but heart far from him. Giving lip service to the Lord, I love you, but not ever bothering to follow him. Won't be there, but many will come from east and west. So Jesus told them, he said, the prostitutes and the sinners and tax collectors will go in heaven before you, because they listen. When the call of repentance came, And they listened and repented. When a call of repentance comes, repent while there's still time. Indeed, some are last who will be first. Oh, be first in the world. People want to strive for that all over. I want the first of this. I want the best new Cadillac. I want the best new trains rise. I want the best private airplanes. The best this, best that. Highest priority in the world. They want more money, more of this. Seeking everything they can get under the sun. In the end, some who are first will be last. Not only that, ranks of title. I love that hymn it talks about. While some others down here below strive for rank and title, but high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? When we breathe our last breath, that's what matters the most. Many will come from the east and west, from the north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Notice here, they will eat in the kingdom of God. Glory to God. We'll sit down and have us a meal at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They'll eat. They'll be nourished. We're nourished by the Lord. We're living in the kingdom right now. It is yet to be consummated, and it will when time is no more. But right now, as we live as kingdom people, we can eat in the kingdom of God. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can feast on the bread of life. We can know the Lord's goodness. We can eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some who are last will be first. And some who are first will be last. In verse 31, at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. But Jesus didn't care. He said to them, go, tell that fox for me, Herod, with a Roman governor. He's going to call him a fox. He's going to insult him. God, this is Jesus' world. He doesn't matter to him what people may say, what man may say. We're living as God's children in the kingdom of God. We need to serve him first with gladness. Come before his presence every day. For Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, go tell that old fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I finished my work. Right now, he said he is casting out demons. Praise God, he's still doing that today through his children, as he promised at the end of the Gospel of Mark. That's a mark of the children of God, one of the signs following us. He says, I'm casting out demons, and there's demonic activity all over this place. No doubt some of those people praying to false gods in Washington has opened up a whole lot of terrible things. They're not some false god. It's demonic activity. That's still going on to this very day. People will call it this, call it that. Evil spirits roam and prowl about this world. People make excuses, but it's still there. This is a spiritual battle we're fighting every day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spirits of darkness in high places, he says. That's what we're wrestling against. That's why we need to have the armor of God on. He says here, I'm casting out demons. Excuse me, Jesus did. Back then, he does it through his children now. He says, and he's performing cures today and tomorrow. He's still curing people. That didn't end at the age of the apostles. Jesus is still casting out demons and fighting the evil spirits around us. He's still performing cures today and tomorrow. He said, if someone is sick, call the elders of the church and the prayer of faith shall heal them. Lord, help us. Performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Praise God. The third day, he's on his way to Jerusalem. As it said in chapter 9, 51, he set his face to Jerusalem because he knew it was time to go, time to die on the cross of Calvary, time for our redemption. He says here, on the third day, I finished my work. Glory to God. On the third day, he did, didn't he? When he reached out his hands, he died on that cross. Nails right through the hands. Spear in the side, crown of thorns, whipped. The Bible tells us that he was beaten beyond recognition. When they looked at him, he didn't even look like Jesus anymore. Ripped out his beard. The most horrible suffering any person could go through. He went through it. Most people died before they even made it to the cross sometimes, carrying the crosses to be crucified. But he endured the whole pain. Not a bone of his was broken. The Bible says, every prophecy fulfilled. By his stripes we're healed. By his blood we're made new. We're redeemed. He says here, I finish my work. He finished his work. It's the finished work of Calvary. We can't redeem ourselves. We don't need to go get some lambs and bullocks, which Hebrew tells us could never, ever take away sin. Go on Mount Hill and kill them. It won't take away sin. It never did. It was just a temporary covering. Over and over they'd take the scapegoat. And the Old Testament people, and they just buy it another year on the Day of Atonement. One more year until the Savior comes. One more year. But it never took away sin. Jesus' blood, it took away sin. He says here, on the third day, I finished my work. Not only did he die for us on the cross, as we see in the Scriptures. But the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, the Bible tells us. He rose again, that we can be buried with Him in baptism. Our old self has died. We're risen to walk in newness of life. We're risen with Him, risen with our Savior. On the third day, I finished my work. On the third day, He finished His work, so we can follow Him. We can be redeemed. It's the finished work. God has done the work of redemption for us, where we couldn't receive it on our own. We couldn't do it on our own. We could never earn it enough because we already broke the law, but He never once sinned, never once broke the law, and He died for us an innocent death. I finished my work, He said, when He went to Jerusalem. Yet today, in verse 33, tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way. Notice here, He's got to be on His way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem, as He tells everywhere, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, the blood of the prophets is upon them. He says here, it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Over and over, Jesus went there. He says here again, as He told us in another gospel, He said, killing every prophet all the way back where they slain one in the very temple. He says here, kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. You know, the world will do the same thing to this day. It grieved God so dearly. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. That was God's will for Jerusalem. That was Jesus' will for Jerusalem. How often? Several times Jesus went to Jerusalem to try to gather them together, try to call them to Him, but yet they refuse. He's doing the same thing. He may be calling you this morning, doing the same thing, wanting you to come under His wings. As we're in the shelter of the Most High, as Psalms tells us, under His wings gather together. As them chickens will gather, a hen will gather her brood under her wings. He said it'd protect them, guide them, keep them warm. And you were not willing. Notice here, Christ gives us the option every day. We have the choice to make if we're going to follow Him. As saved people, we have the choice to make if we're going to continue in Him, continue in His ways, if we're going to turn back to perdition and be cut off from the branch. He says here, under her wings, gathered under her wings, and you were not willing. They refused. They refused it over and over. 35, see, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord God, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is He, that's Jesus, that's He that died for us. And for our redemption. Their house has left them desolate because they refused to follow Him. We'll be desolate if we don't follow Him to this very day. It's the same thing. 2,000 years later almost. Same thing going on around us. Nothing new under the sun. But we have the same choice to make. Just as they did back then. You know, in Acts it says when He witnessed to the Jews that Jesus was speaking to here that refused to follow Him. It says they were cut to the heart. The Bible, God's word, when it was spoken to them, it cut them to the heart. Their heart wasn't made of stone completely. Their conscience wasn't completely seared. They still had a chance to come to Him. We still have a chance, don't we, every day. We still have a chance to follow Him every day. Let's love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask you, are you following the Lord? Are you believing Him? Do you believe the word of God? Or is it just speaking with our lips, just saying, Lord, I believe, but nothing flowing forth? I love that prayer in the Bible where that man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He believed the Lord. He wanted to grow in faith. If you're struggling to grow in faith, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Get in the Word of God and believe Him. Believe what it says. Believe that He's coming again. Believe that He's the Lord God Almighty. That greater is He, the Holy Ghost that's in us, than he who is in the world. Greater is He above the devil. The Bible says that a strong man's got to be bound and trampled. Jesus bound the devil and He tramples on him. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. The devil can't rule over you when you've got Jesus. Every little bit of sin we allow in our lives is not the devil's fault. He'll tempt us. He'll send His demons to tempt us. But it's us for not following the Lord that it allows in our life. If you got Jesus as your Savior, He can never force you to do anything. He couldn't force Job. No matter what comes our way, we need to be growing in grace. He says, strive to enter through that door That door is Jesus. Strive to enter through that door. Strive for Him. Strive for righteousness. Strive for peace. It's all through faith in Him. All through believing. If we believe the Word, let's act upon it and be striving for Him. Take a moment and reflect on that with the Lord. He can take any heart and redeem it. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Try us to know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in Thy way. Everlasting Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your redemption. That through the blood of Jesus we can believe. That through the blood of Jesus we are redeemed. That through the blood of Jesus we are made whole. We thank You, Lord, by His stripes we are healed. By His blood we are made whole. And Lord, His resurrection, we're risen with Him. Help us to live as risen people in accordance with Your word. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. Everybody inside, Lord, and everybody outside as well. Bless us all to follow You truly and love You truly with our entire being, Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your love for us. Help us return to You with love from You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been such a blessing to be here with you. In the Lord's house, will you stand with me? Grace and peace to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are the light of the world, a city built on a hill. Let's live as that light. In Jesus' name, amen.